Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee. I'm joined here by Quizmaster Mark.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I don't have a mouthful of McMuffy still.
No, you do not. No, I can hear just the little pieces.
We weren't going to talk about the McMuffy for advertising purposes, but sadly, I still have a mouthful of McMuffy. So
it was a surprise McMuffy.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me breakfast.
You're welcome.
This morning. Okay,
now that I know what you like.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So let's see here. Trivia. That's what this podcast is about. We're both quiz masters.
We are. We're just a couple of guys quiz mastering.
Yep.
I feel like I think I've made references before, but Elise, then John and Justin, and now we got the empty nester syndrome. It's just you and I.
Oh, yeah. I like it. It's a reprieve.
And even right now, Kyle's gone with her friend Emma.
No one's doing dishes in the background.
Is the whole house? Listen to that.
Only Bayou could ruin it. The dog.
You hear that silence? It's a beautiful thing.
I can't relax. I need something going on.
Your hand just went crazy.
Start talking, please. Immediately start talking.
Yes. So we're here. Yes. Trivia.
Yeah. Trivia. So let's see here. I don't know. What are we talking about this intro? I don't even have any notes prepared.
We have nothing.
Yep.
We've got nothing, which is good because after a 2 hour,
everybody loves people talking about how they don't have anything to talk about.
Yes. That's absolutely. That's what Seinfeld's based on.
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked about everything trivia related. No, no, man. We can talk
it's
about
been
the
real,
five
man.
Year.
Are we done?
Is this it? We can talk about the 5 year anniversary thing next week.
Yes.
That's
going to
be very
exciting.
How's that
going? Are you preparing? You said you were preparing some questions.
Yeah. I was getting questions together for last night and.
Now you're not a planner usually.
No.
You don't like to plan when it comes to your trivia.
Every once in a while, if I'm on a roll, I'll. Neck muffy crinkle in the background. Let me talk for a little bit so you can eat. Every once in a while I'm putting together questions for a night, if I'm on a roll or I find like a really good source or something happens, I'll just kind of go off and like get my 18 questions and then start kind of like adding some for the next week. Because usually I work on Wednesdays, I do trivia on Wednesday nights, and before Wednesday from 6:30 to 8:30 or whatever, I get my questions together. And usually I'll go through and if I have a couple extra nuts to put away for hibernation, I will.
And smart.
Last night was one of those nights I was just like
storing the trivia nuts away for a winner.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling it. I just was coming up with questions left and right, and
being a quiz daddy.
Yeah. I probably put away like 8 or 10 questions for Wednesday's Friday night or 5 year anniversary. So get some teams that are going to be coming out and showing out. They got plans. Everybody's got these. Oh yeah. This person and this person's husband is good at this. And you know, my friend who's good at sports. So I feel a lot of pressure because I know people are like, okay, you study the presidents and you study the periodic table and blah. And I'm like, I don't know if that gives me more reason to add president questions to try and test their knowledge. Or if I should just not have presidents at all so they've done all that research for nothing.
Yeah,
see. You know, it's a cat and mouse game.
It is. And you keep a lot of that in your head. So that's why I think one of the advantages of like kind of marking out like category requests and everything, like if somebody was like, hey, I forgot everything about trivia. Let's say I woke up and I didn't know anything about like my regular Thursday nights at number 3.
Right.
I just forgot everything just for that specific thing, whatever happens. I could go into my like data mine and look and see what the popular category requests are there. You know, I can see what the difficulty ratings for each of the questions are and stuff. So I know you keep a lot of that in your mind, though. So maybe if you just think about like, yeah, I mean, people are telling you like, oh, these are the things that we think about when we come to Nice Guys Pizza Trivia, U.S. presidents, periodic table. That could be the good base for your quiz. And then you put in some wild cards in there. Bam, wow, wow,
wow. Screw them up.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Screw
them
up.
You scramble.
You got to tighten them up and then you got to unscrew them and then tighten them up again.
It's like edging.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about at length.
I think about that a little bit when, building a trivia, like a category round, you know, like sectioning out where the categories fall in the round so that there's kind of like a wave of particular interests, you know, rather than like grouping everything together.
If you hear something weird, that was me getting something off my pop filter.
That was not McMuffy.
No, it was not. Yeah. I don't do the McMuffy.
Cool. Well, best of luck to you on your anniversary,
I'm
fifth
you won't
anniversary.
Be here, but yeah. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. We're going to come back strong next year, I promise. You know, as long as I'm not doing trivia on a Wednesday night, and maybe if I am, we can work something out. But I'm dying to come to one of these anniversary trivias. So, yeah.
Yeah. This. Well, you did you come?
I have not been to one yet.
Because I know you were talking about possibly
maybe,
being.
No, hold on. I did. Maybe it was the third year. I think it was the third year anniversary.
Yeah, I think I did a. I think
and I did not do well.
I did like a 2 year. I did like a 1 year or 2 year.
Hmm.
And then I didn't do one for a year or two. I want to say I did a 1 year and I didn't do a 2 year. And I didn't do a 3 year.
I want to say
we did
it was
a 4 year last year. And now we're doing our 5 year.
Was it 2015?
Yeah, I think so.
That's when I came.
Was that the, that was the one for the TV?
Yes, and it was me and Kyle, and I think I looked over and I saw Fletcher, Jamie, Kristen, and maybe Seth, and I was like, eh. it ain't happening, folks. Yeah. It ain't happening.
Yeah. The first year we gave away like a 50-inch TV.
Amazing.
And then
and this
last year,
go ahead.
Well, last year we did the pizza, and this year we're doing pizza again.
Pizza for a year. And then a $300 gift card and then a $150 gift card for third place.
Right. And then we're also doing first round. And so it was basically more like yours mm-hmm. where you do a first round winner, second round winner, third round winner.
So one team could win all of them.
They could win every round and first place, second place or third place.
Ooh, big prize.
Yeah.
Could get a big prize.
So come out. Very, very exciting.
What's the date on that?
October 16th, next Wednesday.
At
well, it'll be this Wednesday. It'll be
yeah.
2 days from the day this comes out.
At 9 p.m.
At 9 p.m. at Nice Guys Pizza.
Amazing. Great. All right.
This is worth some of these Patreon people flying down here to have to fly down every month.
Some of our wealthier Patreon.
Time to
our
fly quiz, back to Florida. For
quiz daddies pizza. Only, basically. Yeah.
It would be worth it just for bragging rights.
Yeah, I think so. Come out and strut your stuff. All right. Let's get into our weekly wrap-up. We'll see how our teams did this week. First, on Monday, October 7th at the Palace, as you wish, getting almost a shutout victory. Mark, you were on that team.
I was.
So close.
I came in and I saw Elise sit at the bar all alone with her rosé. And I said, excuse me, is this team taken?
I was trying to play some Herb Albert.
Yeah, there you go. but yeah, so it was funny because then it was her and I. Mm-hmm. And then my girlfriend showed up.
Shaney.
And there was the three of us. And then I had previously gone to Skylar's pop-up beforehand.
Yeah, we had a little no-no get-together a little bit.
We did.
You know?
And Fletcher and Kristen were over there. Kristen wasn't feeling very well.
I couldn't tell. She looked great.
Well, when you're eating those sandwiches, can you look unhappy? Yeah. So I asked them, I was like, you know, I'll be over there probably playing alone if you guys want to come over. And sure enough, they popped over.
Oh, I'm so
and
happy.
Who else was there?
Seth was there, but I don't think he played. And everybody else came?
Seth wasn't there.
He was at the pop-up.
Oh, I'm talking about on our team.
That was it.
That was it.
Yep.
And yeah, so it grew exponentially from first round to last, and we did well.
And almost a shutout victory, but almost. You were thwarted by, do you remember their name?
No.
Big Daddy.
Oh,
who took the third round. Big Daddy. First, second, and overall prize going as you wish. 83 points overall. Trivia Newton John, they lost round two by a single point. So sad. On Tuesday, October 8th, we were at Gather. Winos started strong, and they won the first round, but then they only got 2 points total during the second round. And it's not for lack of trying. They had answers written down, but they could not get the answers, I guess, the right answers. They gave up that round to the Couch Taters, who won the second and the third round, but they couldn't stop Tarpon Charlies from winning the overall prize.
Wow.
They beat 10 other teams. So sometimes slow and steady wins the race, folks.
Tarpon Charlies always killing it there.
Yep, 78 points to them. Thursday, October 10th at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. It was our 226th no-nonsense trivia challenge. Peanut the Dog supports Turkey took the first round, beating out Winter's Brewing and the Misfits by just 2 points. but a bolstered As You Wish steamrolled them and the other teams we had in attendance, ending the night with rounds 2 and 3 under their belt and 109 points to their name. Two wins in 1 week. Congratulations to Elise, Dallas, Joe, and the rest of the team. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Trivia this week?
Lee, you're going to be very happy to know that your fiancé's team swept...
Wife by the time this episode comes out.
Wife by the time this episode comes out, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They were on a team...
Good job, baby.
So not only did they win... So they... they... The thing they did...
What they do.
So their team
Tell
name,
me what they do. Yeah.
They basically came in and ate Jamie and Fletcher and Kristen's lunch.
Oh, really?
Their team name was Sex in Her Shitty, starring Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ooh, I so bet that got under Fletcher's skin.
They come in and the way I got out the answer sheets, I read their name first. So they took their name idea.
It spoiled
and
them.
Then nom, 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 nom. They ate their lunch. They won every round. They won the final with a final score of 44. Jamie's team, Jamie Fletcher and Kristen, how Stella got her tube packed. And you know,
Inferior name.
Seth came in midway through the second round or the beginning of the third round as the cleanup crew. And they still weren't able to defeat Kyle Ann. Who else was there? It was Kyle Ann, Emma, our friends Josh and Lauren. And then they left, and local musicians Keith and Christopher stopped by, and Claire Liparulo, the Free Coasters. And that rotating cast of characters, they were able to win the round. But I told Fletcher and Kristen and Jamie, and you're being an artist and musician, I said, bad rehearsal always means a good show. So the mm-hmm. hope is they shook off all this bad game.
Yeah.
And next round, hopefully they can pull it together.
Sometimes you need that, you know?
You do.
You need a little taste to remind yourself, and you know, Jamie, stay humble.
I think it was Jamie saying, we don't want to go into the next round cocky. We don't want to come in cocky. So
wow.
We'll see what happens.
That's great.
Yeah.
If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. And you do. October 14th, 2019, Cape Coral, Florida, 7 p.m. Mark Davis hosting trivia at Palace Pub and Wine Bar.
Hello.
Categories for the quiz will include pirate ships. Yar. local restaurants.
Yum.
Marvel Comics.
Boom.
Criminal Law.
Order.
Current video games. I love that you roll with this.
Do, 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 do.
Dogs.
Arf, arf, arf.
The Bible.
Because it doesn't exist for real.
Whoa.
Got him. Got him.
Getting philosophical here. Thomas Edison.
Lights.
Okay, and more. You're fired from that job.
Okay, yeah.
Final question category will be trucking companies.
Lights.
Selected by last week's biggest learners, the three stooges.
Goes around saying, lights.
Lights on.
If only he knew of Alexa.
Yeah, you have to, what do they call that when you, like, verbalize your dreams and you actualize them? What's that called? Self-actualization? No.
No, you're talking about like when you can control your dreams? Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's lucid dreaming.
That is.
Yes. I'm talking about like talking to yourself in the mirror and say, you will become a millionaire. You will become a millionaire.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know. Yeah, that's just...
Scott Adams of Dilbert, that's like his whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, that's how Donald Trump became so successful.
Whatever.
Anyways, let's move on. October 15th, 2019, Cape Coral... will be at Gather. Mark Davis hosting there as well. Categories for that quiz will include NHL, MLB, cocktails, Greek playwrights, Roman poets, physics, Broadway, Disney, and more.
Broadway!
The final wager question category, you're hired. The final wager question category will be wine and spirits.
Boink! That's the cork.
Oh, I thought you'd go like, woo, like spirits.
Oh, yes.
Selected by last week's biggest learners, Cavacado.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then October 17, 2019, we'll be at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 7 p.m. Categories for that quiz will include anatomy, famous authors, physics, Nintendo 64, college football, Breaking Bad, and more. Final category that evening will be Red Dead Redemption, selected by the Misfits. That's Thursday, October 17th, number 3 in Cape Coral. Don't miss my glorious return to my role as Southwest Florida's best quizmaster. And don't forget, we have our next themed trivia night scheduled. It's No Nonsense Trivia, the Office Edition, coming up in the first weekend of November. Categories that evening will include Dunder Mifflin, Office Secrets, Jim and Pam, Dwight's Antics, and Michael's Proposals, and many, many more categories. We'll catch you on the flippity flip. Bye! On Saturday, November 2nd at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 6 p.m. You can find out more information about that and all our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us, won't you?
That was something.
I don't know what we
is that catchy on the flippity flip? Is that an Office reference?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Daryl tells Michael that that's what black people say when they say bye to each other.
Oh,
so Michael
yeah.
says that to him. Yeah. A couple times in the series. I'm talking to a venue right now about that Arrested Development trivia. I hope that that works out and we can Ooh. Announce that soon. How much do you know about Arrested Development?
A fair amount.
Can I run a question by you?
Sure.
Okay. What is the name of the one-armed man employed by George Bluth to stage intricate scenarios to frighten George's children into good behavior? Sounds like Wrinkles the Clown.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
You can't remember?
No.
Jay Walter Weatherman. Jay Walter Weatherman.
I need to give that show a rewatch.
Yeah, there's a lot of little characters like that.
Every time I rewatch that show, I get to the cornballer and I cry so hard laughing, and I just can't watch anything else. Their reaction to when they burn themselves is so fucking funny. especially, what's his name? Jesus Christ.
Actor.
Blew myself guy.
David Cross.
Yeah, that's him.
Tobias.
Tobias Funke. Funke.
Funke. Oh. Take me to Funke town.
It's like a sub-reaction. It's like so much pain that you can't, like, you can't scream. It's so good.
It's underplayed.
Yeah, it's just so magical.
That's great.
Oh, boy.
But you do know where you can always find money.
Yeah, in the banana stand.
Great. Okay. That. All right. It's cool. 3-pointer there.
I know a fair amount. Okay. That would be, I mean, I'd want to be on Fletcher's team for that. I think he's seen that show a couple times.
We'll have a range.
I'll get Justin down.
Yeah.
Me, Justin, Fletcher.
Oh, there you go.
I'd feel good about that. Kristen. Cool. Jamie's never seen it, I don't think, so he can go fuck himself.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a little break.
Yeah, then let's do some questions.
I forgot that the movie Zombieland existed.
Oh.
And so Kyle was like, there's a new Zombieland movie coming out. And I said, what? And she said, new Zombieland movie. And I said, a new Adventureland movie. And she said, no, Zombieland. I said, Adventureland, right? She's like, no, there's a movie. I said, there's a movie called Zombieland. She said, yes. I said, who's in it? And she said, Jesse Eisenberg. I said, wasn't he in Adventureland? And she said, yes. But this movie's called Zombieland. And there's a new one.
Holy shit. That's maddening.
I caught it all at once, you see. So
I can't believe she didn't mention Woody Harrelson. That surely would have jogged something.
Yeah, I did remember afterwards. But and I was like, wow, there's two movies with the land thing. He was typecast in land movies for a brief minute.
Well,
and then there was the Social Network land.
Famously,
turn. Yeah. To cap it all off.
And then Superman land.
Superman land. Yeah.
Superland.
Superland.
Are we back?
Superland Man of Steel land. Yeah, we're back.
Land of Steel.
We're going.
All right, let's do some trivia. Do we have anything to do before trivia?
Nope.
We just had like a 15-minute political break.
Yep. All right. We talked politics. Like, let's debate politics.
All right, you want to go first? No, you went first yesterday because of your wedding. Well, you know what? Your wedding's in a couple days here.
You're going to let me go first twice?
Go ahead.
Thanks, man. What is the standard unit of measure for energy and work in physics?
Energy in work?
And work.
And work.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say standard unit in physics?
That's right.
Units are so tricky.
Why is that, Mark?
Because I feel like there are so many different units of energy for different things, like watts. I think you're being kind of cute.
Cute?
I want to say calorie, because I know that calorie is a unit of energy.
That would be in nutrition science, not in physics.
That's what confuses me.
In physics.
See, I was thinking physics, like maybe in physics, a unit of energy. Nobody here to help me look less dumb.
This is the downside of our solo shows.
Me all alone. Duos. Trying to suss with no one. Hey, so what do you think? in physics. Boy, oh boy. This is a tough one.
This is like, it's at its most fundamental level.
Yeah. Let's get physical. One more time. Can you read it?
Yes. In physics, what is the standard unit of measure for energy and work? And work is, I'm talking like the most fundamental basic force, the product of force and displacement. So it's measured in what? In physics. Named after a scientist, physicist, mathematician, and a brewer from England.
A Newton.
No. As far as I know, I don't think Newton was a brewer. This is a little later than Newton's time.
Well, an apple hit him in the head.
So. Right. This was after Newton.
Maybe he made cider.
Any other guesses? Cider head.
Ooh, Newton cider.
That's there you
a
go.
Good idea.
Yep.
That's a free idea.
Free idea for you.
Someone
out there.
Take it.
Send us a six pack.
a brewer.
A sixer. Yep. In fact, this man, that was his family business. They were brewers, and science was just kind of like how he was doing business.
Yeah, I don't know.
He wanted to replace the brewery's steam engines with electric motor. He discovered his first law. His name was James Prescott Joule. The Joule. Yes. Yep. So he did the math, and you might see Joule's first law at home in your electric toaster oven. Those coils heating up, that's basically what Joule discovered, like that energy could give off heat when it was transferred through an element. Joule's first law.
Here's your first question.
Okay.
William Kalin Jr., Peter J. Ratcliffe, and Greg L. Semenza recently won the Nobel Prize in which field? Now, there's, I think, five fields,
mm-hmm.
5 to 7 fields that you can win the Nobel Prize in.
Physics.
I need you to be.
Literature. Peace. Art. And music, maybe?
Well, it's not one of those.
It's not? It's none of those?
Nope.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that. That's all I know. That's all I know, Mark.
6 awards.
Did I name the other 5?
Wait a minute. That's weird. I guess there's 5.
You know what's funny? It's the other day. The other day I heard this news blip and I thought, give out a Nobel Prize for that. Now I can't remember what it is. What is it, Mark? Give me the week's news in science.
The correct answer. So the five.
Peter J. Ratcliffe and sons.
The five Nobel Prizes are chemistry.
Oh.
Literature.
Mm-hmm.
Peace.
Yep.
Physics. And they won for physiology or medicine.
Okay. But what did they discover again? Do you remember what they won it for?
Oh, that is a very good question. okay. They won for research into cell reaction to oxygen availability.
Oh, okay. I don't think I heard that news story. Maybe I guess they give out Nobel Prizes left and right kind of during the season, right?
It's kind of like, give out the five of them, yes.
Yeah. Left, right, back, forth, and up.
Right. Not
you don't put that Nobel Prize on the ground.
They don't punch down.
You don't put it on the ground. Second question for you.
Okay.
Disco music.
Okay.
Who performed the classic 1976 disco hit, Disco Inferno, which is featured on the 1977 burn. Saturday's
burn,
Night Fever?
Baby burn.
Yep. Who is that?
I love these questions.
Yeah.
Because they suck so much.
Wow. Hit thanks, wonder. Man. Yep.
Like.
Well, I didn't know
the song.
I think I almost called them a one-hit wonder in this question, and then I went and looked, and they had several hits. So I deleted that.
Disco Inferno.
Yeah, so this it had its own run on the Billboard charts, and then it left, and then they put it on the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever, and it came on back.
Shot on back year. Up.
One hit, 2 years. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Disco Inferno. I'm trying to remember. You remember when we were kids and they used to sell those CDs? And it'd be like, oh, disco hits. And it would like, they'd scroll the songs with the artist.
The one that was playing would be in yellow. Mm-hmm, the rest would be exactly, in white so yep, you could identify. Yep. And they would put the music video behind it.
I'm going to say Lips Inc. I can't think of who it is.
Nope. Nope. It would be the Tramps.
You know, I didn't know that.
With two M's.
Oh.
Tramps.
Okay. How ballsy to not give yourself two P's.
The Tramps.
Well, the Tramps. The Tramps.
I feel like they probably assume everybody's going to call us the Tramps, but if we put that extra M in there, they'll be known for having the extra M.
Someone's trying to sign into my Netflix account.
Right now? Stop them, Mark.
I think so.
Stop them.
I got a thing in earlier that was like someone's trying to log. Oh, maybe this is the same one.
It's me, everyone. It's me for my phone.
5:56 a.m. This was me this morning watching. No, wait a minute. Who the hell was that? I don't know who it was. I'm going to have to stop them, though.
Stop them.
Jesus Christ. All right, here's your second question. Mm-hmm. Which members of the Beatles didn't have a middle name?
Oh, whoa. I really have no idea. I don't know if I could tell you one Beatles middle name. So it could be any number between one and four. We have Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Richard Starkey.
Close. Richard Starkey.
Richard Starkey. Starkey. Kind of like a Stark. He's Stark-like. Ringo. And Pete Best, if you're including him.
No, just the four.
The main four.
The Fabulous Four.
The Fabulous Four. Let's see here. Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney. John Lennon. George Harrison. Richard Dick.
What a strange way to do this.
I don't know, man. How many didn't?
Which Beatles did not have a middle
name? Which one? I need to identify which ones. Jeez.
All right. There are two that don't have a middle name. There you go.
Okay.
Which two do not have a middle name?
It's George and Ringo. That explains everything. Psychologically, Paul and John You know, they got that middle name. They got that extra name. They think they're bigger than they actually are. Start elbowing in, you know?
Hey, I was thinking we could write a song about taxes.
All right, we'll put your tax song on. You just got to play bass on the rest. Or not bass, guitar. Fuck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul played bass.
Yep. But he was originally a guitarist.
In the Beatles?
Yep.
What did George play? They had three guitar players?
They didn't have George in the band originally.
Oh, okay. I'm a Fairweather fan, you know. I still have not checked out the new Abbey Road remaster. Have you?
No. Yes, I have. Yeah, I listened to
like
the first game. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I'll just listen to Abbey Road. You can play it in a fucking trash can. I'll listen to it.
Abbey Road in a trash can. Oh, cool. Let's check it out.
So is that your answer?
Yeah. I don't. Well, yeah, I guess. John and Ringo. Or George and Ringo.
You're correct.
Wow. Okay. Huh.
John Lennon's middle name is Winston. John Winston Lennon. Later, John Winston Ono Lennon. And Paul McCartney, his middle name is actually Paul.
What's this?
His first name is James. James Paul McCartney.
Who is this man? You think you know a guy.
All right.
James?
James.
James Paul McCartney?
My mom calls me James.
That's a bit of a psychological sus that I did there.
Yeah.
You know? Worked out.
And and how well? Yeah. It's perfect.
I wonder if it's true. All right, Mark, I have a grammar question for you. Now, I'm going to tell you before I read you this question that it was 5 points, which is our most difficult point category. So I'm looking for a very specific answer.
Okay.
In American grammar, what is the special case when you would use the word an, A-N? What is the special case that you'd use the word an in American grammar? No one got this right, by the way. So if you want to just take a second,
so
talk it out.
I'm definitely confused about the question to an extent. So you would use an
instead of a.
Okay.
In a sentence. So you would substitute an for a under what circumstance? What special circumstance?
When the word following it begins with a vowel sound.
That's absolutely right. Nobody got that right, but it's with a vowel sound.
Not with a vowel itself.
Yes.
Okay.
People are writing down vowel, but yes, you would say like, I'll see you in an hour instead of I'll see you in a hour. You wouldn't say that. You would say an, even though the next word starts with the letter H, which is not a vowel. You know, so that can trip people up.
Absolutely.
I like that question though.
That is a good question. Thanks. Were a lot of people mad?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I was thinking an honorary. It's funny that you say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But an hour is an even better better example. Huh.
Good job working that out.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grammar is definitely one of my stronger suits. So I will take it. Here is your last question of this round. A howdah. H-O-W-D-A-H. A howdah sits atop what animal?
A howdah sits atop of what animal? Howdah. Sits atop. So, howdah. I don't know what a howdah is. Could be a bird. Could be a bird.
Howdah you do.
Not so good right now. Because I don't know what a howdah is. Maybe it's like that bird that sits on like a hippo, or maybe it's something that's. See, if it was like attached, like a giraffe's antlers or something like that, or a. I don't know. For, not a rhino's horn, but like that's affixed. You know, it wouldn't be sitting atop. Sits atop. That's such an interesting way to phrase it.
Thank
sits atop. A howdah. My mind keeps going back to that bird. Or maybe it's a maybe it's some kind of like saddle or like a transportation, like on an elephant, you know, or something like that. Some kind of cabin. Maybe a camel. Seen saddles, large saddles on camels. Maybe you said it ended with the H.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. Camel. You ride a camel. That sounds about right. Unless it's that bird. But that doesn't sound like a very bird-like name. So I'm going to go with camel.
Camel is correct. Oh. Also an elephant. Yes.
Wow.
It is the carriage that sits atop those animals.
Huh. So that was really just, yeah, I might have heard that maybe once before in passing somewhere. But that was really just looking at those last two letters and trying to linguistically, geographically place them in the world. Look at that. Beautiful. I'm looking at a picture. Send me that.
I'll send it to you. It's from a website called Wikipedia.
Yay. Okay, you don't have to send it to me. I can find it.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a little break now.
Yes.
And then we've got a few miscorrections, and then we'll get right into round two.
Sounds good.
Good sus going today. I hope I don't hope I didn't just jinx it by mentioning it.
Yeah, don't jinx your sus, bro.
Yep. All right, we got a few miscorrections here.
Miscorrections.
Okay, first of all, Mark, last episode you said 2014 to 2019 was 4 years ago.
Oops.
Shame on you. It's 6 years. 5 years. 5 years.
I did miscorrect myself.
Yes. Yeah. It was like instantaneous.
Yeah.
You know, 7:15 in the morning.
Like what was it? It's my birthday and I'll cry if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Yep. It's my party.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we got a note from David Holbrook, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dave Holbrook hit me up and told me, tell Lee that Press F to Pay Respects is from Advanced Warfare, not Modern Warfare. I know it's a joke question, but I refuse to have Modern Warfare's good name tarnished on my favorite podcast.
That's okay. Good catch, David Holbrook. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. But I will say that Modern Warfare was the first video game that I ever played that actually made me dissuaded with video games as an art form. I think I beat it while I was on the phone with somebody playing it one-handed. And I thought, did I just beat this game one-handed? Like, haphazardly? I beat this game haphazardly. So I do not share your fond memories of that game, unfortunately. But, you know, to each their own. To each their own.
And he did call us his favorite podcast, so.
Oh, nice. Nice.
How sweet.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And then we got a follow-up from Spencer, who he had no-note and a rate my question from before.
I know there were some listeners eagerly awaiting another Spencer email.
Yeah, we got some notes, but they might be disappointed. He starts this one off, I must apologize for my profanity in my previous email. It didn't seem like that much until I heard y'all read it. I finally have caught up with all your episodes and I've started through the Patreon extras. In case it wasn't clear through my extensive use of profanity, I love this podcast. The only podcast I've ever been able to listen to. Mark, I did rate you 5 stars.
Thank you.
He says, thank you for all producing a great show, Spencer. P.S. Rue is flour and oil used for thickening. Thank you to our proverbial lightkeeper, Spencer, the chef, for that.
We've had some people saying they would like a weekly Spencer review of each episode.
With profane aplenty.
And don't apologize for the profanity, I don't think.
We let it all hang out here.
Yeah.
We talk about getting rammed in the butt. Chuck Tinglers, Tingles Tinglers.
There have been team names that have used very lewd words in them.
Yeah. We're not looking for that corporate sponsorship. In fact, that's why we don't read ads.
Exactly.
And that's why we have a Patreon. So thank you again, Spencer.
Also, thank you to McDonald's sponsoring us with our McMuffy this morning and also my sausage biscuit. Or my sausage McGriddle. And
so what you're saying is you got all this for free?
my half sweet, half unsweet tea. No, not yet.
Oh, so they didn't really sponsor. We're sponsoring them. We're sponsoring them.
We're working on it.
Have you heard the latest No Nonsense podcast? Sponsors McDonald's. We sponsor them. Sometimes daily.
McDonald's is sponsored by the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
If you'd like to write us a miscorrection or a rate my question or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or find us on social media. Mark, are you ready for round two?
Hell yeah, I'm ready for round two. Are you ready for round two?
Read me a question.
I said, are you ready for round two?
Yes.
What former Saturday Night Live cast member was originally hired as the voice of Shrek?
Former Saturday Night Live cast member. So Mike Myers was the voice of Shrek. Is the voice of Shrek. Who knows when it will stop. Yes.
That's my very poor
and his Shrek. His Saturday Night Live alum, fellow alum, Eddie Murphy, also stars with him in that movie.
He voices a donkey.
Mm-hmm. A famous duo from DreamWorks Animation. Who doesn't know about Shrek? Who am I talking to right now that doesn't know about Shrek and these people? I guess I'm stalling so long because I think I know what the answer is. I think it is a fellow cast member of theirs who died before he could complete the movie. Much more than there might be a test that exists with him as
there
it
is.
And it is John Candy. Nope, just kidding. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Chris Farley.
Yeah, that's correct. Chris Farley. Mm-hmm.
John Candy, almost the a turkey character in Pocahontas.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, but he passed before they could complete that role. So I think they nixed that entire character idea from that movie.
Yeah, even Mike Myers wanted a complete overhaul of the Shrek script because he wanted to get rid of all Chris Farley-isms from it before he did it.
It would have been kind of a different performance, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know? It would have been a different movie altogether.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about what that would be like.
Indeed.
All right. I have a question for you. Medical terms is a category. What is the medical term for the shin bone?
Ow. Don't do that.
Sorry. I just wanted you to know what I was talking about. I thought I'd reach over and tap on your shin bone, a.k.a. your...
There are some answers that I know I wouldn't know even when you tell me. This one I feel like I don't have an answer to, but I'll know it when you say it.
Now, I would say, if as a patron of Nice Guys Pizza Trivia that you host, I would say you ask these kinds of questions quite a bit.
I do.
Yeah. So I thought this could be up your alley. But I guess you'll disappoint me yet again.
I live to disappoint.
Yes.
Damn. Double damn. Damn, damn.
So nothing's coming in.
No.
Search your mind palace.
I'm
gonna help you out with a hint.
Okay.
Let me give you the letter that it ends with.
Okay.
A.
Oh, very helpful.
Don't you dare guess any word that doesn't end with A.
Bona.
Bona. It's my bona.
I don't know.
I walk around on my bonas.
I have no guess.
No guess?
No.
Well, one of the popular answers was fibula. But that is on the outside of the shank.
Is it the tibia?
Yes, it is the tibia.
Okay. I knew that was a leg bone, but I did not know that was... I thought it was its own thing.
Its own thing where?
I don't know.
Just somewhere in there?
I guess I didn't think of it as being like one of your main leg bones being where the shin is.
Yep, it's the shin bone, the one right up front.
Okay.
The one that you can touch right up front on your shin.
Tibia.
Yep, tibia.
The tibia and the fibia. I knew those.
The fibula.
Oh, fibula.
Tibia and fibula. Is there a fibia? I don't think so. The fibula is on the outside of your leg.
Here's a question for you. What is the axilla better known as?
Is this a medical term?
Yep.
The axilla?
Axilla.
A-X-I-L-L-A.
Axilla.
Axillary. Axilla. Scylla. Godzilla. Scylla? Is Scylla hair? Chest hair? Axilla? I don't know. The Axilla. Axilla! Axilla. It's not the thing in the back of your throat. That's the... Is it the uvula? Is that what that's called?
Uvula.
Uvula? The uvula. He got his... You hear about these kids these days, they're getting the uvulas pierced. For oral sex. I don't know.
He hits the dick, tip of the dick. Bonk.
It's supposed to stimulate it. Axilla. Can you spell that for me, please? Can I request a spelling?
Yeah. A-X... I. L. L. A. I guess in Spanish it would be the axia.
Got that double L.
Yep.
Convert it to a Y sound.
Very good.
Axia. The axilla is.
Doesn't feel good, does it?
Mm-mm.
Doesn't feel good. No. Maybe you'll think about this next time.
This is justice. I don't know. I can't even worry a guess. I'm going to say exactly back hair.
Now, the correct answer is the armpit.
Armpit. Axilla. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard that. Well, I'm learning.
That's where you put deodorant. You don't use antiperspirant, do you?
No. It's got metal in
good
it.
Good man.
Yeah. And that gets into your pores.
Aluminium.
Mm-hmm. As they would say in the uk.
In the uk.
Tom Waits movies.
Coffee and cigarettes.
Now, I was surprised. Oh, that would be a good guess. And I that almost was the answer. I got to stay away from these with you because you can just start listing them, I guess.
That might be the only Tom Waits movie I know.
I was surprised when I researched this topic. I said, Tom Waits movies? What is there going to be?
Tom Waits?
Three movies? This guy has been in like 30 movies over the years.
Okay.
I don't recognize most of them, but I have seen this one. I wonder if you have too. In what 1999 superhero comedy film does Tom Waits play Doc Heller, a man who specializes in non-lethal weaponry who equips the team for battle?
One more time.
In what 1999 superhero comedy film does Tom Waits play Doc Heller, a man who specializes in non-lethal weaponry who equips the team for battle?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen it. I think I have an idea as to what it might be. 99. I don't know if this is too new for it. It sounds really familiar. Superhero team.
1999 superhero comedy film. 20
years ago.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Not like this. That's a quote from another 1999 movie, The Matrix. So you said you have some guesses. I mean, what's rolling through your head right now?
Kick-Ass.
What if I told you there was a Shrek connection? A Shrek soundtrack connection.
Then it would be the other movie I was thinking.
What's that?
Mystery Men.
That's right, Mark. Mystery Men is the answer.
I can't believe it's been 20 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that would be the soundtrack connection would be All Star, which was on the soundtrack to Mystery Men. I believe there's even clips from the movie in the music video to All Star later on the Shrek soundtrack.
I was like, time is so fucked up because I was like, Kick-Ass, there's no way it's 20 years old. And I was like, Mystery Men, that movie must be like 30 years old.
Mystery Men 30 years old?
I can't explain it. It feels like it's been fucking forever.
Okay, well, I'm 34, so I know I wasn't 4 when that movie came out.
It came out in 99, mm-hmm. but like it just seems like
I was the target demo
for fucking ever since that movie has been out.
Yeah.
Dane Cook is in that movie also.
Yep, that's right.
He plays one of the people that are trying out.
What was his character?
I can't remember.
They all had so Ben Stiller was the bowler, right? Or no. He was Mr. Furious.
Yep.
Janine Garofalo.
Mr. Furious is the username of our friend Josh Maynard.
Don't dox him, folks. This is just don't unravel that thread.
You can beep
cool
that.
Reference though.
Yeah. Garofalo.
Was she the bowler?
I can't remember who the bowler was.
No. Was that Hank Azaria?
He was the like the Swami.
The Mystic.
And then there was
and a William bit of brown H. face.
William H. Macy mm-hmm. was like the Digger.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the only ones.
Bob the Builder. All right. We're starting to get our knowledge a little lost on Mystery Men.
There. Yeah.
So, okay. So that's two for me, two for you.
Yep.
All right.
So we do one more each.
We do one more. That's what we're doing.
Because you are just having such a hard time. Here's an art question. Who sculpted such works as The Thinker and Gates of Hell?
Mm.
Do you know this?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I do.
I thought you might.
I don't know his first name. Maybe we can play that game. And I want to say, I want to say he's French. He might be Spanish or Italian, but I think he's French. And I believe his name is Rodin.
That's his last name.
Yes. So his first name could be any number of those nationalities that I just mentioned. Rodin. Ricardo Rodin. Jacques Rodin.
He was French.
Okay. Michel, look at that beard.
What a badass. Look at that hat.
His beard is a mustache.
Pretty much.
That's incredible. I've never seen that style before.
I love that hat.
That is a great, that's a beret.
That is a good beret.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that little side shit. That's like,
it's got a brim. Beret. It's got a brim to it. Is his name Michel Rodin?
August
Rodin. Auguste.
It's got a little E at the end.
Not sure what the pronunciation rule is on that for French. Auguste.
A flat-topped visorless cap beret is.
A beret. Great. That's great.
Great. That's great. I don't know why I gave you such a softball question knowing that you're an artist. I guess I felt so bad about the auxiliary thing.
You don't have to feel bad. Axela.
Yeah.
You said auxiliary.
Oh, yeah.
The armpit. The axela.
I got two really good last questions for you. I don't know which one to pick. All right, I'm ready.
I'm not.
Okay. Let me ask you another one while you're looking. Nepetalectone. Nepetalectone is the active ingredient in what pet product? Nepetalactone. Nepetalactone is the active ingredient in what pet product? Mr. Rodin.
Mr. Rodin.
Where are you at now, Mr. Rodin?
Don't call me that. Man, I don't know. Active ingredient? It sounds synthetic. Can you spell it one more time?
Nepetalactone. Nepetalactone. I may have spelled it wrong there because it was spelling off the top of my head.
Oh.
No need for a miscorrection, but you get the right idea.
Could be like flea and tick medication. I don't think it's going to be like a toothpaste, like a dog toothpaste. Or maybe it is. That's a famous last words for me.
Couldn't be a dog toothpaste.
Dog toothpaste.
Answer is dog toothpaste.
Let's see here. Catnip? Could it be in catnip? I don't know. It doesn't sound very catnippy. But then it has nep. Maybe it was catnip originally. And then it became catnip. People just heard it wrong. That's just crazy enough to be true. Pet product. And it's going to be something that has an active ingredient. So it's not going to be like leash or bowl. That would be a strange answer. Oh, good catnip.
That's correct.
Hey, all right.
Good job.
Thanks, man. Rodan.
Nice sus.
Mr. Rodan.
Good job, Mr. Rodan.
No, I want to be Mr. Rodan. No, no. Lieutenant Rodan.
Oh, there he goes.
Air traffic control. Air traffic control as great. A concept is how we're going to close out the second round.
Perfect.
In 1920, air traffic control was officially implemented for the first time in what city? What was the first city's airport to have air traffic control?
Is it a U.S. city?
Is it?
I don't know. 1920.
Yes. And the answer is not Kitty Hawk. That was a popular guess, but very cute answer. But I'm talking about like an official, like, you know, as we know it today, modern air traffic control. Flights coming in and going out. We need to keep track of all this shit so they don't crash into each other, et cetera, et cetera.
Big city. 1920s, New York, Chicago, Paris. Yeah, this is definitely not something I know, but it's got that sweet spot of being something that you can suss and just have like a best guess and just hope by the seat of your pants. L.A., Chicago, New York.
This is the kind of question I like to leave on. This was London. The last question of my first round.
London. Paris. Giving a European or American city or something like that would definitely make it a little easier, but maybe a little more fun, in my opinion.
So do you want me to tell you?
No, it's fine. It's your question. I'm going to go with...
If you were asking this, would you give it?
Yeah.
You would give that identifier?
I think so.
Yeah.
I guess depending on the points.
This is supposed to be an easy one. Three points. Yep.
See, I would give American or...
I thought it would give it away. I thought it would clearly give it away. But maybe that's saying too much.
Well, I feel like if it was American, it would more than likely be New York. If it was European, it would more than likely be London or Paris. But I know Britain was fucking running things hardcore, especially in the 1920s. I'm going to say London.
That's right. London. Good sus. Good sus, yeah.
Feel good about that.
So
feel good about going out on the second round with that.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, New York, I could see New York being it, but, you know.
It's still kind of early.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't concerned with that quite yet. Right. You know, it was more getting through the industrial and then the stock market collapsing kind of threw a wrench in things. Air traffic control, not a top priority quite yet for us then. We'll let you Brits figure that out. And then,
well, I figured while everything was really kind of steamrolling, the, you know, that could be one of the things that either helped get the whole thing rolling in New York, or, you know, I just know that in New York, they did a lot of stuff preemptively to kind of get things rolling,
yeah,
and get, you know, the infrastructure going. I thought maybe that was one of the things, but London was already killing it. So
congrats to them and congrats to you.
Thank
on your,
you.
And your question victory.
And now we go out on top for a break. We talk more politics. And then we come back. You're dancing. And he's dancing. And we're going to come back for our last question.
Mark, are you ready for a rate my question?
I'm very ready.
Rate my question.
Ray Romano, ladies and gentlemen.
There I am.
He's drowning, I guess, in a pool of water.
Blah, 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 blah. Don't be Mark. Blah, blah, blah. Don't Phil Collins me, Mark. Blah, 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 blah.
Wow, that's a very sad mental image of Ray Romano drowning.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know. Why did I paint that picture? Yeah. I'll help you out, Ray. I won't Phil Collins you.
Begging for his children to say goodbye.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Matthew, blah, 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 blah. Gregory, blah, 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 blah.
Help daddy.
If only I could remember my last two kids' names. Blah, 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 blah.
Jonathan and Alexandra.
Matthew, Gregory, Jonathan. Are you sure it's Jonathan?
Jesus, now you're making me question myself. Yeah, Alexandra and Jonathan, right?
We never say it in that order. I think that's what's got me thrown off. Anyways, we have a rate my question here from Spencer the Chef, our newest proverbial lightkeeper. The hits keep on coming, Spencer. Thanks. this is a rate my question, so we're going to try to answer this question, then rate it. In what sporting event would you be disqualified for not marking out at the first of the event? So first thing I'll say here is there's a period at the end, not a question mark. So points off for that, first of all. Not marking out at the first of the event. At the first of the event. At the first of the event. What does that mean? The first.
Can I just give you gut reaction?
Yeah.
Cricket.
I don't know why I was thinking cricket too.
I think almost every question sports question that I don't know the answer to. Is cricket or rugby?
It's the only one we're unfamiliar with as Americans in our mainstream zeitgeist. I'm sure there are some cricket fans. I wonder if we have any listeners that are huge into cricket. Maybe Spencer is. Maybe that's why he's asking. But marking out, I feel like I might have heard that before in reading about cricket.
It is such a complicated game. Mm-hmm.
At the first of the event, first inning, first at bat, first what?
Couldn't tell you.
That's tough. That makes the question tougher. So let's see here. We'll find the answer.
Sounds like the parlance used in the sport itself. Oh, it's in the first. There was a Quiznos that was run by two guys that were Middle Eastern that loved cricket. And I would go and get Quiznos on my way to work. And whenever, like, the cricket championships were going on, they'd be watching. And then one day I was like, all right, explain this shit to me. I got, like, 5 minutes. And they were like, you do this, and then this guy comes up, and this guy throws this thing, and there's a cricket bat, and he runs back and forth. And I was like, never mind. I'll take a fucking steak sub on rosemary parmesan. No cheese. It was just so fucking complicated.
Kyle and I watched cricket for about a half hour once on YouTube. Like, we were just trying to figure out the rules of the game just by watching it, you know? Like, hey, neither of us know about this. Let's try it and see if we can figure out why people like it, what's interesting. It was kind of entertaining. Where the shit? This is terrible. I just tried Googling it, and that didn't work out. And we got a missed correction while we're recording here. That's great. Right after we recorded. This is just going fine. This is just fine, fine, fine.
This is great.
All right, here's the answer. Let's see here. The way Spencer has it, I got to cover up part of my phone so I don't see the other answers. Okay. The answer is going to surprise you, Mark, as it does me. In the bareback and saddle bronc riding, a cowboy's feet must be above the point of the horse's shoulders when the horse's front feet hit the ground. So, if so, he marked the horse out, but if not, he missed him out, and the ride is disqualified. So, you must mark out the horse at the first of the event, the first jump, when the horse's feet, bareback and saddle bronc riding.
Hmm.
I know so little about this that I still don't get it.
Yeah. That's...
So I'm going to say for Southwest Florida, that's going to be a D minus. But where is he? I don't know if he wrote where he's from. Maybe that would, is he from Texas? Hmm. Interesting. Bareback saddle bronc riding. News to me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Let's see what else we got here and what this miscorrection is. Oh my God.
This is a huge miscorrection.
We're just getting him in here live. I'll read this and maybe we can cut if we don't like it. But
miscorrection.
Hi guys. My name is Courtney. I'm a big fan of the show. Just wanted to write in because I had a miscorrection from your most recent episode when you guys were talking about impeachment and what presidents had been impeached. Seems like there was a little bit confusion about this whole process works. Two presidents have been successfully impeached, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. Impeachment just means that the House has brought articles of impeachment against the president and they have been tried in front of the Senate. All impeachment is... Well,
in front of the Senate?
Yes, they're brought in the House and then standing trial in the Senate. All impeachment is the actual trial in front of the Senate. Basically, what happens first is there's a formal impeachment inquiry. So that's what I was talking about, was the successfully impeached means it went through the Senate and they said, yes, we're impeaching the president. Then the House decides what articles of impeachment they are going to bring against the president. So basically, what they're alleging that he did violated the high crimes and misdemeanors clause of the Constitution. Basically, the House serves as a grand jury in the House vote on the articles of impeachment to decide if there's enough evidence against the president to have a trial in front of the Senate, i.e. impeachment. Richard Nixon was never impeached because he never had a trial in front of the Senate, although articles of impeachment were brought against him by the House. It is well understood and accepted that Richard Nixon would have been impeached had he stayed in office. And yes, he would. That is why he resigned. He did not want to face the dishonor of being impeached, basically. What does it say here? Both Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson had their formal impeachment trial in front of the Senate and were both found not guilty. It's actually pretty cool. Basically, what happens is the Senate serves as a jury and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court serves as the judge and presides. So technically, two presidents have been successfully impeached because both were tried in front of the Senate. However, no president has been formally removed from office due to impeachment because both Johnson and Clinton were both found not guilty by the Senate. I don't think that's true. I think Johnson was found guilty. I believe he was successfully impeached, which is what the question was. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the whole question is bunk. But I think he was impeached, but not removed from office.
Well, it seems like what she's saying, and maybe I'm not hearing right, but it seems like she's saying the impeachment is whether or not you're found guilty. Being impeached is just being tried. Is that not true?
Successfully impeached means being tried and being found guilty, which Johnson was. And so I said successfully removed from office.
I thought she said that they were both impeached.
They were. They were both impeached. She says here, no president has been formally removed from office due to impeachment because both Johnson and Clinton were both found not guilty by the Senate. But I don't know that that's true. We're not lawyers.
Right.
So maybe we need to look that up. Anyway, there you go. Thank you guys for so much for doing the show. I've listened to you since the very first episode and just recently got caught up to present day. So this is officially my first missed correction. I go to trivia twice a week and play on two different teams here in Columbus, Ohio. And there's been more than one instance where I've gotten a question right because of something they learned on your podcast.
Wow. Keep up, I like that.
Yeah, love it. Keep up the good work, gang, and hopefully I'll write again soon. Best, Courtney. Thank you so much, Courtney.
Thanks, Courtney. I really appreciate
and
that.
And thank you for the clarification. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to ask you to email that to me so I can see exactly what that says, because
that was a lot.
Yeah, the whole impeachment thing is very heady stuff.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, if you have a missed correction or a rate my question, email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please and thank you.
All right. It's your turn, buddy.
Yep. You ready for a basketball question?
I'm ready.
What small forward for the Philadelphia 76ers, who retired in 1987, is largely credited with reversing the popularity of the slam dunk, which was seen as bullying and unsportsmanlike before?
Oof. Oof. What year?
Retired in 1987. Famous for playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. Before, it was all these large dudes that would basically sit near the basket and defensively posture and then slam to intimidate. And it wasn't well received. But this gentleman was a little smaller and put some style on it.
Became a fan favorite. 76ers is one team I just don't know much about.
It was like the dunk was just the last part of the movement, you know, like ballet.
'80s, retired in '87. 76ers. Nope.
Not coming, huh?
No. I'm just trying to think of a 76ers player from then. And I can't even do that. Philadelphia 76ers. For some reason, I keep thinking of the Washington Bullets.
Played for the 76ers from 76 to 87. Prior to that, from 73 to 76 for the New York Nets. And then before that, this was before the NBA merged with another organization where he played for the Virginia Squires from 71 to 73.
Then he was on the Nets, and then now the Brooklyn Nets.
Four-time MVP.
I know you're going to tell me the name, and I'm going to be like, I fucking know that person. But I'm struggling just to even think of like an old school player from the 76ers. I think I mentioned before, the guys who do Hollywood Handbook do a podcast called The Flagrant Ones. The basketball podcast that they do with a guy, Carl Tart.
I'm sure they've mentioned this player.
They probably have.
This person, I guess it was slam dunk was their signature move. Dunks were a thing, but the slam dunk was his signature.
Yeah. I don't know.
Dr. J, Julius Erving.
Of course.
Of course it's Dr. J.
So let down by myself.
There he is.
So tired.
Look at this man dreaming of dunks.
Just thinking about
dunk him. Dreaming. You got a second or a final question for me?
I do.
You got a question for me?
Virginia McMath became known as an actress using what name in such films as Swing Time, Top Hat, and Kitty Foyle, for which she received an Academy Award? You're making all kinds of weird faces. Your eyes are going everywhere.
Kitty Foyle, Swing Hat, and Top Hat?
No.
Swing Hat?
Swing Hat.
Top Hat. Kitty Hat.
Are those lyrics to that one Red Hot Chili Peppers song? Swing Hat. Top Hat.
Kitty Hat.
standing in line, see the show tonight, and there's a light on.
Mm. Virginia McMath?
Yep.
McMath?
Virginia McMath. So brought to you by McMath and their McMuffy.
I want a McMathy. Let's see here. I'm just looking up the answer.
I was going to say, you're looking at your phone saying, oh, let's just see here. No.
No, I was looking at the Andrew Johnson's impeachment. I'm curious now about what happened there. Virginia McMath. Virginia. Blah, 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 blah. Virginia McMath. Maybe it's, well, see, if it was Vivian Leigh, you would probably pick movies that were later in time. Those, I think, I don't know, but Swing Time, that's like 1928, 20, 32, somewhere in there, 33, probably early 30s. Top Hat, similar. Kitty Foyle, you said she won an Academy Award for that?
Mm-hmm.
Kitty Foyle? Vivian Leigh. Greta Garbo. Trying to think of old actresses. Top Hat. I don't think either of those are right. But I can't think of anybody else. And the worst thing is I think it was just this person's birthday sometime recently. And it was on their Wikipedia page looking at these movies. I'll say Greta Garbo. It's like the only name I can call right now, even though I'm like 99% sure it's wrong.
The correct answer is
Janet.
Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers. Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers is not the drummer that just passed away.
What?
The drummer? Didn't a drummer just pass away?
Ginger Baker.
Ginger Baker, who drummed for...
The Cream.
The Cream with Eric Clapton. And
they call themselves Cream, but I like calling them The Cream.
I thought you were going to say The Crop.
Well, that's why they were called... A lot of people said they were called Cream because the musicians were considered the cream of the crop. That's why I love calling them The Cream. I also think it's cool to call people the something, you know, when it's not usually part of their name. Ladies and gentlemen, The Cream.
Featuring Ginger Baker on drums.
And
so are you a fan?
Bruce.
You said the first time you heard
vocals.
You said the first time you heard him, you knew there was something going on that was different.
Yeah, I was saying for Sunshine of Your Love,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, not to get too much of like on a musical, like a musician's kick, but usually drums are like boom, doom, boom, doom, boom, dot, boom, dot, one, two, three, four. Snare on the two and four. Well, Sunshine of Your Love was dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, on one and three.
Right.
And that's, which, you know, that's what everybody jokes is like the white person thing.
Right.
When there's music. This love has taken its toll on me. It's very square. It's very white.
Yeah.
But he played on the one and three and it sounded awesome. He used a lot of like ethnic drumming. He used a lot of Afro beat. He did a lot of jazz stuff. And when I was young, before I was even a musician, I would listen to, you know, I remember listening to Sunshine of Your Love and going, this does not sound like other stuff I've heard. This drumming sounds different. Before I was a drummer, before I really knew much, you know, it just sounded different. It felt different. And yeah, it's always had a big effect on me. I mean, the guy was fucking nuts. I actually just watched... A month or so ago, I watched a documentary about them recording Disraeli Gears, which is one of their seminal albums. And Yeah, I mean, the guy's nuts, or the guy was nuts, but just an outstanding drummer and just a really great musician. So big loss.
And Ginger Rogers as well.
And Ginger
we'll have
Rogers.
To check her out.
Yeah.
Won an Academy Award for Kitty Foyle.
Kitty Foyle.
Yes.
Yep.
Good to know. And Top Hat and Swing Hat and Cat Hat.
Swing Hat.
Yep. And then just to follow up on this miscorrection from Courtney. Yeah. So she's right. So I guess the way that the question was worded, which president was successfully impeached, though not removed, which I think is almost as close as you can get, but still being wrong. So the vote was 35-19, but it requires a 2/3 vote for a conviction. So did not meet the 2/3 requirement. So he remained in office, though, as a lame duck president without influence on public policy.
Okay.
So, that's what I was getting at. So I guess it does need a little bit of a rewrite, you know, successfully impeach, maybe not, you know, but the trial did occur and he was the majority voted, you know, in favor of impeachment, but it did not reach the 2/3 threshold required.
So to be considered successfully impeached,
mm-hmm.
to be considered impeached, you have to hit that 2/3 vote.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So no, that's why she says here, no president has been formally removed from office due to the impeachment because both Johnson and Clinton were both found not guilty.
So you can cut this if you want to, but mm-hmm. right before that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying no, nobody's been removed from office because of an impeachment. But is she saying that being impeached is being brought in front of the Senate anyway? So two presidents have been impeached.
Successfully impeached, as I was using it, means that it made it through the House on its way to the Senate for voting. So like they the Senate voted on it, you know. And I didn't catch the 2/3 thing the first time when I researched the question.
Gotcha.
You know, so a little bit of this is news to me. So like I said, the question could probably use a rewrite, you know. It could say which former president besides Bill Clinton was the only other to have impeachment proceedings move from the House into the Senate and have the majority vote in favor of impeachment. That would be another way to word the question that would be more accurate to the reality of the situation.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So thanks again for that letter, Courtney.
Yeah, Courtney, and, you've definitely opened our eyes up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're getting smarter by the day thanks to our listeners.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee.
Bring it home, Lee.
Got Quizmaster Mark right here. You can check us out on live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays at Gather for Ladies Night Trivia, also in Cape Coral, Florida. That also starts at 7 p.m. Wednesdays, Mark Davis hosting Trivia Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m. What's the date on that? It's this Wednesday.
October 16th. 2 days from the day this comes out.
5-year Nice Guys Pizza Trivia Anniversary. Check that out. Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar across from Nice Guys in downtown Cape Coral, Florida. That show is starting at 7 p.m. as well. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your podcast platform. Thanks for all those wonderful reviews lately, everyone. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim from San Diego, member of the trivia team going by Pat's Garden Service. Thanks also to our team captains, Rachel, Aaron, Kristen, and Fletcher. And thanks to our proverbial light keepers, including Spencer the Chef, Hank, Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Big thanks also to our Rumble Snail Skins, Manu.
Spencer the Chef, I like that, by the way.
Yeah, that's we'll always remember him. He's got that five mother sauces, which can you even remember?
I remember tomato.
Yeah, bechamel. Bechamel.
Oh, okay.
And hollandaise, that's the surprising one.
And tomato.
And then oh boy. Oh boy. We got some studying to do. I do remember that. God bless you. Rumble Snail Skins. Thank you to our Rumble Snail Skins, Manu, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C, and Michael J. Please write us, everyone, with a Rate My Question, or if you hear anything, a missed correction, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group that you can join. Please do that.
Facebook, more and more people every day.
Just type in Facebook, No Nonsense Trivia Podcast Facebook, and it'll come up.
But you got to write Facebook twice.
Write it twice. Make sure you get it. And then shout out, blah, 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 blah. What am I doing here? Finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only, please. Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Adios.